Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we help you connect money to mission. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and joining me again this evening is Tony Pimpo. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks, Hunter. I'm glad to be back.
Now, I said this evening because we're recording this. It seems like the last couple times we've recorded, there's been storms outside, so it's kind of crazy. But we're releasing these usually on Tuesday morning, so don't let that throw you for a loop. So whether you're listening morning or evening, it's morning, noon, or night. It's a good time to listen to the Blessed Business Podcast. And so today, Tony, we're going to be having a conversation around small business marketing tips. And so I think you've read through part of Donald Miller's book, Building a Story Brand, and
yes,
been involved in different things from a marketing standpoint. So we're going to have a conversation about it today. So let's start. We're going to just kind of dive right in. This may be a multi-part series about different marketing tips and different aspects of marketing. We've actually got 10 reasons why many small businesses fail in their marketing efforts. But let's just kick this off with some practical steps. So I've got a number of different ones. And number one, we're going to talk about naming your business. So choosing a good business name is important, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so that may sound like, okay, that doesn't sound like a marketing activity, but it's true. It really is.
It is. Oh, yeah.
Because the first thing people are going to know about your business is what your business name is, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, I had a lot of people that, you know, want to name their business something that's related to like their great aunt's, you know, middle name or something. You
something
know,
so, no one else understands,
right? And it's totally outside of the scope of what people actually think about. So it's like, for instance, Or it's something like random. So like, let's say you are starting a house cleaning business, right? Tony's House Cleaning, right? That would be a very simple name, right?
It tells me exactly what it does.
It tells them exactly what it is. But if you're like Superior, Inspirational Cleanliness Services, it kind of leaves you wondering a little bit. Your mind has to work a little harder to be like, well, what kind of services? You know, what kind of inspirational sanitation, as you know, sanctifying services are these, right? And so if you can get too enamored with that, with like being, creative and crafty and kind of come up with something, you know, kind of neat or like that, it may be cool to you, but it doesn't actually work in the marketplace.
Right.
And it's going to make all your marketing efforts a lot more difficult,
especially when the market is really crowded. Mm-hmm. You know, people are just trying to find a service, and if your name doesn't adequately communicate what it is that you do, you're gonna have a whole lot harder of a time explaining your story to people, because they're gonna have to do research on what it is that you do rather than just, it doesn't just speak to them right off. So I think you know, you could do, there's clever things you could do with a name, but I think inside that name, it should contain the essence of what you do and communicate that right off the bat.
Sure. Well, and I know that that's part of setting your business up, but you have to think about it from the standpoint of a lot of people say, okay, I want to start a business. So then they come up with a name, but then they don't think about it from a marketing perspective. You have to really be effective in your marketing. You have to start with saying, okay, you have to do market research. And we talked about this in our Entree Life podcast we did a while back about, we went through the SBA.gov's website with 10 steps to start a business. And one was market research, identifying your target market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you understand, you know, what you're trying to offer the marketplace, who your target market is, and what speaks to them, your name should reflect that, not something that just sounds cool to you. The other thing you need to think about when your name, and this is going to lead into getting a good domain name or URL for your website and like social media handles and stuff, is think, does it make sense to spell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense when someone speaks it over the radio or speaks it to their friend, or, you know, if they say, you know,
you don't want it to just look good in one setting, for instance, like look good,
right,
but it doesn't sound good, doesn't communicate well over, you know, like you said, the air radio. You don't want to just be specifically targeted to one medium. You know, you don't have to think about it in the sense of, oh, well, this only works on Instagram because I have a reel that explains, you know, you got to have it in multiple settings.
Right. Well, and it's like, you know, I saw an example of this one time. It was actually a marketing company that was like, marketing buzz or something like that, but it was like BUZZZZ or something like that. And like, it was, you know, it was neat, right? It was, you know, it was creative from the standpoint of, yes, they want to create buzz for their customers, but, you know, marketing buzz and, you know, getting attention. But at the same time, if you start Googling marketing buzz, people are going to, you know, spell that differently. How many Z's does it really have? You know, if you have 8 Z's on there, and then SEO optimize, you know, doing search engine optimization for that, getting a domain for that, you know, spelling that on your email address, putting that on your business card, things like that. That can be very challenging. So you want to think through this, right?
Yeah. Cause you don't want to have to be like, our company is marketing buzz. That's with 4 Z's, you know,
it's like, that's wasting time. And Donald Miller talks about this a lot. One of his most prolific quotes, Donald Miller's a phenomenal marketer. He's wrote a number of books about building a story brand, marketing made simple, a number of different ones. We'll leave a couple of links to some of his books in the show notes, but one of his most ubiquitous, just everywhere, every time you hear him speak, you're probably going to hear him say, if you confuse, you lose. And from a marketing perspective, that is absolutely the case. The other thing you need to take into consideration when naming your business from a marketing perspective, is there another business that has a very similar name?
Yes.
So if you're looking up, you know, A1, you know, carpet cleaning, and you do it A-1, right? And then someone else has A, you know, O-N-E, carpet cleaning services, right? Well, yes, that domain for A1, you know, carpet cleaning may be available, but if A-O-N-E, you know, carpetcleaningservices.com is already taken and they've been, you know, building up their search engine optimization, there could be a conflict, because if it's a very similar type business and a similar domain name, a similar business name, that can create challenges.
Yeah, and then you get confusion with your customers.
Right. And so that's the main thing, is getting your business name down. And so thinking through some of that, and I know we kind of spent a little bit of time on that, and a lot of people don't think of that as a marketing activity, but this is your basis that you're going to start building on, because what you're doing is you're building your brand, right? Mm-hmm. So your brand is kind of like your identity, your business's identity to the world. It's, you develop the personality, you just develop the look and the feel and the design, just like, you know, your personal brand is when people, you know, meet you for the first time, and in either a professional atmosphere or a casual atmosphere, they're going to learn something about you, right? How you carry yourself, that's your personal brand. Well, your business brand, that is how it defines itself, right?
Right.
Is through your marketing efforts and your branding efforts. So leading off into that is, after your business name, is your logo, right? So you need a logo to get started. So I know there's a number of different examples of logos out there, like the Nike swoosh or swish, or however, swoosh. That's what it is. Swoosh. Got to get this right. And so when we think of the Nike swoosh, everyone thinks Nike, right?
Right.
But when Nike first came out with that, no one knew what the swoosh was, right? It took years
to make that recognizable.
Marketing. Right. That was their logo mark, right? Mm-hmm. So you may think, well, I'm going to come out with a different swoosh and I'm going to start selling my tennis shoes, or maybe not a swoosh, but like, you come out with some, like, you know, interesting, you know, icon that really speaks to you. Maybe it's a bullseye or whatever. And so you've got this, you know, black background with a red bullseye, right? Mm-hmm. And you're you know what that means.
But nobody else
does. Nobody else knows what this means.
I think some of it too is what industry you're in.
Yes.
Because for instance, Nike, they make sports apparel and shoes, etc. That's a more fashion forward type of industry, right? I mean, it is fashion, a lot of it. So I think you have a little bit more leeway to create something like that and give that brand meaning, right?
Yes.
But, you know, if you're in construction or, you know, service business, you don't have...
Your logo is a hammer.
Right. And it's like you need to tell people what you do quickly. You yes. can't spend years creating these ad campaigns mm-hmm. and building awareness the same way. It really does depend on the type of industry that you're in and how much you want to invest to make that recognizable and make it mean something to the people who see it.
Right. Well, there's a difference in your marketing activities. You know, if you want to drive sales, that's more of an advertising and specific type of marketing for brand awareness or for general awareness, right? Here, buy our product now. Whereas, you know, other types of marketing is more building that brand awareness, brand identity. I mean, yes. you want to make a sale, but really you want them to know who you are, right?
Yep.
And start making associations. And so your logo and creating a logo mark is very important. And you can have that, but as far as just a simple little icon or logo mark, different people call it different things, that's, you know, very specific to you. But I highly recommend when you're creating a logo to create words to go, like a word logo to go with it, or a tagline or something mm-hmm. that emphasizes what you do. So then the question is, okay, so how do I create a logo?
Yeah.
So what are some ways, what are some websites people can go to that where they can start very simply creating a logo? It may not be the end all be all. You can always hire a designer, but if someone wants to go start something today, this is small business bootstrapping. What can they do, Tony?
So one of the cool things that has happened over the past few years, I don't know how long it's been exactly, but is the emergence of these websites that enable there to be contests for your logo. As an example, 99 Designs, mm-hmm. right? What you can do is you can submit a brief for your logo that speaks to...
This is what I'm looking
yeah,
for.
Exactly. Speaks to what you do as a business, what you're expecting, right? And there's different ways of going about it. One of the ways you can give them a lot of leeway, right? You could see what the designers out there are going to come up with. The other way is to be very specific and ask for... You know, if you already have an idea of exactly what you want. And the cool thing is you can get designers from all over the world to submit their ideas. And through that contest, you can pick the one that you like the best. And so that's an option with 99 Designs. There's Fiverr as well.
Fiverr.com, yeah.
Many different designers on there. There's Canva.com. You can do it yourself. I mean, you have a great, you know, panorama of options in this space that, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, you wouldn't have had this. You would have to go to a marketing agency or a local graphic designer, and mm-hmm. the price too, it would be much higher. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the barrier of entry now is it's a lot lower, and the quality is good. And there's different tiers even. I've used some of these services.
I have too.
I think I used one called Design Crowd, which is another one. Mm-hmm. So they kind of operate similarly.
You know, as a funny aside, the Fiverr is not Fiverr. It's Fiverr.
Yes.
.com. And again, they've branded it and they've got good search engine optimization, but that's something that they had to overcome to do that. But anyway, so just a funny little aside about company naming. But yeah, creating a logo is important. Like I did this the other day. I sat down with someone and I used Canva.com. I signed up for the pro versions, like 10 or 15 bucks a month. And they've got so many templates, so many different elements. And it's just click and drag, you know, drag and drop. I mean, just really simple. If you have, you know, any technical skills at all and any eye for design, and I'm definitely not a designer, but I kind of know what looks good, you know, when I see it. And so I'm able to kind of get on there and play with something. Even if I don't have it perfect, it's something I can use for now. Or what I can do is use that and say, this is really close, but I can't get it exactly like I want. I'll send it to a designer or, you know, find someone on Fiverr.com or 99 Designs or whatever. So you can at least conceptualize, because that really shortens the curve of letting people know what you want. But at the same time, a lot of times you have to, again, when you're creating the logo, you want it to be representative of who you are and keep it very clean, very simple. Again, if you confuse, you lose. Right?
Yes.
And so you have to keep it extremely simple, and it's almost impossible to make it too simple. I have seen logos before that were too simple. It's like very modern, you know, impressionistic, like it's just like a little swish here and a line there and whatever. And it's like, don't you see, this is like a cottage in the woods. And yeah. It's like, that's like a stick figure that died and has got a broken arm that fell over. You know, it's like, that's too vague. You can be too vague with it, but at the same time, you want to keep it simple and clean.
Absolutely.
So one of the next things that you need to do, so these are kind of different steps. So step one is have your business name. Step two is have a good logo. Step three is, I really think it's important to create a story brand framework. What they are to follow that to create what Donald Miller calls your brand script. And so this is a 7-part framework. We don't have time to get into it today, but if you go to storybrand.com or buildingstorybrand.com, we can leave the link below. They have a lot of different resources about this. You can Google it. There's a lot of blog articles on it. But it's a 7-part framework that really steps you through understanding who your target audience is, what you need to do to convey to them, and how to create your marketing content. And that will lead in to step number four, which is creating a sales letter, which is
right.
The foundation of your marketing copy. Now, did you get very far into that with the brand script when you looked into Donald Miller stuff?
I did. So the Building a Story Brand book is the one that I read, and that did cover the step-by-step. Yeah. So I know we don't have time to go into all of it, but there are a few of them.
Synopsis here.
Like character, that's who you start with, right?
Yes.
Your customer is the quote-unquote character
right.
in your story, right?
You're making them the hero.
Exactly.
In the story.
Exactly. And then it's just, he really lays out the typical script for any story, which is you have a character, you have a problem, right? The character is facing some kind of an issue. In this case, the problem is what your product addresses or your service yes. addresses.
Or should be.
It should be, exactly. And so you want to clearly articulate that. And then you want to give that character who has a problem a plan,
mm-hmm.
a potential course of action to take to resolve that problem. And you know, this is a familiar marketing term, but a call to action.
Yes.
So you want to give them something actionable. Many times, this can even be an initial step beyond, or not beyond, but before purchase. So mm-hmm. signing up for a newsletter, downloading some kind of materials, PDF, etc. So there is that. And then, you know, you kind of want to fork it from there, and you have two different options, right? Success or failure.
Mm-hmm.
So success is what it looks like when they buy your product, subscribe to your service, etc. Failure is the current position that they're in, right? With them without their need being met,
right.
you know? So,
so kind of stepping through this. So the character is the person who is your customer, right? So
yes.
this is the potential hero, right? So I think he gives the example of like, there's a plumbing situation, right? And so the character is someone who has a problem. The problem is this is a husband who's got a honey-do list
yeah.
that includes a leaky faucet and the toilet's overflowing or whatever the crisis is, right? And his problem is he needs to get, and again, this is going a little deeper, but he's usually a 3-part problem. And that is, you know, what's the external problem?
Mm-hmm.
The external problem is the leaky faucet, but the internal problem is probably that, you know, he feels stressed out because his wife's getting on to him about this
yeah.
and he's not very handy. I'm speaking from personal experience
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And so there's stress involved. So the internal problem is I need someone to come solve this for me because I'm feeling emotional stress and worry and anxiety. All tied to that external problem. So I've got more than just a leaky faucet. And then, you know, the other part of that is the philosophical problem is like, I'm good at my job. I need to be, you know, spending time with my family. I should not have to worry about
a leaky faucet.
A leaky faucet, right? And so there is greater things to life than worrying about leaky faucets and living with anxiety, right? And so I just bumped my microphone there, but and so once you identify that and you speak to that, then he meets a guide.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Gives him a plan. So the guy, you are the guide as the company. You are not the hero.
No.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to help this husband who's his wife saying, you need to get this faucet fixed, who's got this problem, right? Who's having all these issues. You need to invite him into a story where he becomes the hero. So then the plan is step one, give us a call, right?
Yes.
The guide says, you know, call our company. We can get your problem solved within 24 hours. Most problems can be solved within 24 hours, right? Step two is we'll come out. Once you've scheduled the visit, we'll come out, assess the problem, and if possible, fix it on site. And step three is, you know, you write us a check. We're very reasonable, and you win the day, right? So this is your three steps to solving this problem, right? Mm-hmm. And but then you have to identify the stakes, right? So if you call today, we can get this resolved. But the problem's not going to go away, and that faucet's still going to be leaky next week, right?
Right.
If you don't give us a call, and it's only going to get worse, and it could cause mold. So, you know, so again, you're setting the stakes of either success means you can go ahead and get this resolved today by calling us, or B, you know, the option is, you know, failure, where you can continue living in the situation that you're in,
yes,
and it's only going to get worse.
Yes.
Right. And so that's why you clearly use this framework, and then once you've kind of identified your different buyer personas, if that makes sense, because there's different ones. Everyone may not be in that hurry or have that same situation, right? They may have different problems. They may have different situations. And so you identify your top couple of potential customers, and you kind of do this framework. And what it does is it may sound a little cheesy, but if you actually put it all out there, it identifies the pain points what you need to address. So then you can then go into what I was saying with step number four is creating a sales letter, which is your marketing copy or the words that you're going to use to speak to them. And again, Donald Miller gives a number of different examples of this. I did this for a gentleman the other day that he's in our church, and he's starting, I keep bumping my mic here. These mics are a lot bigger, so I'm trying to get used to it. But he has a portable building business. He helps manufacture them. He also sells them, right? And his name is Will Adams. And so I was helping him through this. So we helped him find a name. I helped him create a logo. We kind of went through, I internally went through some of the brand scripting, and then I created a sales letter. And this is kind of a very simplified version of what I created. I said, if you're looking for a superior storage solution that won't break the bank, then Adams Portable Buildings has what you need. We focus on delivering high quality storage buildings at an affordable price. Built locally in West Tennessee, our factory direct buildings and sheds meet the highest standards of quality. With tons of sizes and designs to choose from, as well as easy financing options, there's no better place to find a portable building or outdoor shed that fits your needs. From storage barns to she sheds, we have it all, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so call this, you know, 901-308 or 970-308-5476 to speak with Will Adams direct, or visit us online at adamsbuildings.com, and we will be happy to help you buy the perfect building today. Now, that was a fairly short marketing blurb, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything I built on his website went back to that short paragraph, right?
Right.
And so I would just take and build on that. But the thing is we were hitting on several key things is people want a superior storage solutions. This is invoking the idea that, hey, we have a better product than all the other places you've looked, right?
Right.
And when I said that it won't break the bank, people are looking for something that's affordable. Right.
Yep.
So these are because you're identifying what the potential pain points are. Is one, I've got stuff, you know, falling out of my ears because like we've just got so much stuff crammed in this house. I need storage. Right. But
yes,
I want something that's going to be good quality. And I also don't want to spend so much money that I break the bank. And so we reiterated that several times, you know, quality buildings at an affordable price. Another thing is with it being built locally.
Yeah.
Right?
You kind of zeroed in on your local market.
The local market, right? In West Tennessee, our factory direct buildings, people think they get a better deal if they're getting them factory direct, but with high standards of quality. So I took the two or three main things that people want. They want a storage building. They want it affordable. They want it local because they want it fast. That's what I'm implying, is that we can get this delivered to you. And I should have put in there, you know, something about free delivery within a certain period of time, but I elaborated on that on the website. But, by doing those things, I basically took the marketing messaging and I was able to create one sales letter, this one paragraph. Like if you were to stick this in the mail and send it to someone who you knew wanted this, or in an email from a lead gen that someone wanted this, this would be a fairly convincing paragraph for them to read if they actually read it.
And the thing is, this industry is so what you're doing is speaking to the needs of people who are looking for a storage unit, right? And so you're going to come at this from a completely different angle depending on what industry you're in. But like, if you want a portable building, you just need to know, is it quality? You know, is it affordable? What are the options? And so like, when I go to this website, I'm looking at it right now. If I need a portable building, everything that I need to know,
it's very clear,
is right here.
Very obvious.
It tells me there's buildings, there's sheds, carports, barns, cabins, and more. So like, that covers the whole range of what you can do with one of these portable buildings.
You're
and
on the Adams building.
Yes, I am actually on there. So
he tested me out.
I did. It's very good. So, and it's just, it's simple, and it even gives you ideas of things you can do with the buildings that didn't even necessarily come to mind when I thought of portable buildings. You go on here, there's garages. I mean, playhouses, tiny cabins, mini barns. I mean, there's
people
like...
People will turn these little buildings into all kinds of stuff.
So, yeah, you could have an epic man cave with one of these. Right. So,
which again, that's different. You know, there's different buyer personas, right?
Right.
You know, some people are looking for a storage barn for their tractor. Some people are looking for what they call she sheds, which it's like a man cave, you know, but for women, right? Where they have like this little shed in the backyard that they turn into their painting studio or photography studio or just a place to hang out or whatever. And so,
and one thing I think, if that turned into a big market too, like if he noticed that's becoming, you know, he's getting a lot of calls, you could make a script.
Yes.
Tied to that and a persona. Right, exactly.
Yes.
That connects to that, because that kind of a market is a lot different than just your broad storage,
you know, storage
unit market.
Building,
So,
but, and a lot of people are looking to convert them into tiny homes. Right?
Yeah.
And so identifying, again, see, this is all going back to identifying your target market and creating marketing material around that. So, and we're kind of wrapping up with part one of this topic, small business marketing tips. But I want to get to point number five here before we wrap up for today. And that is domain name. And so once you've kind of, step one is getting your business name. Step two is getting logo. Step three is building out your story brand framework. And step four is creating your sales letter. Now, a lot of people may think, well, why did you put domain name after all that? Why didn't you just pick your business name and pick your domain name? Well, because until you really hone in on what people want, right, and do a little research on that, then it's very difficult to pick out exactly what it is. Like, we went back and forth between, you know, Adams, you know, sheds, portable sheds, and Adams buildings, Adams portable buildings. Well, we could go for a longer domain of, you know, Adams portable buildings and sheds in West Tennessee, but that's a really long domain name, right? Mm-hmm. But we found by doing some research that a lot of people use the word shed or portable building in their name, but we went with Adams Buildings because it's inclusive. It's definitive enough of who their product, or who their customer is, right? People that are looking for buildings, which invokes storage solutions, garages, tiny cabins, tiny homes, whatever,
right?
All that's going to come back to some kind of building, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't, but buildings has a little bit higher end connotation than sheds.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so while we did do some SEO search engine optimization and some created a landing page and different things to target people Googling for sheds, we did some research on the competition and figured out who our target customer is and the buying persona, who they are, and our marketing letter. And we want to appeal to that. Someone who wants superior quality, affordable price. Someone who wants a building, not just a shed that they throw in the backyard.
Yeah.
And so, but again, if you're in the low cost, you know, volume, you know, minimum viable product, then you may go with the name shed, right? In your domain name and in your business name.
Yeah. And so, and it limits you a lot more on what you can do in the future if you do that.
And so, so that was just a couple of steps that you can take to get started. Once you do that, and we can hit just a couple more real quick, is creating a professional email address. When I register Google, domains, I typically use Google domains instead of like GoDaddy or Hover.com is pretty good too. But
G Suite has some great yes, options for admins.
That's what I was going to say. So if you buy through Google Domains, and others offer it as well, if you get a website through Squarespace or a different one, sometimes you can add this on as well. But to get a professional email address, you can get like your name at yourdomain.com through like G Suite, which yes. is basically, it's like a professional Gmail. It's like mm-hmm. their business version of it. And it's very affordable. It starts usually around $12 a month or something like that per user. And you can have multiple aliases. So if I have Hunter at Adams Portable Buildings,
so worth it.
Or Adams Buildings.
You don't want to be like Hunter at Hotmail.com. No, under, yeah,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's very unprofessional to be roll up and you're marketing your business and be like, oh, yeah, you can send that to my, yeah. Hunter727 likes green tractors at, Yahoo.com.
You just lose so much credibility that
way. It's just like, really? You couldn't even set up a professional email? Mm-hmm. I mean, it costs $12 a year. The Google domains to buy a .com, most of them are $12 a year, and the email is, $12 a month, right?
Yeah. Yep.
This is a very simple step, because then your next step is once you have your business name, you know how you're marketing to people, you've got a logo, you've got a professional email address and domain name, that's when you want to build your business cards. That's when you want to design your business cards.
Yep.
Because until you have those other things in place, you're wasting your time printing business cards. And so many people, and I've done this, they will design their business cards and put whatever contact info they have right now. And then they're like, oh, I bought 500 business cards on Vistaprint. And now I can't use them because I realize that doesn't even speak to my customers. So, but anyway, so that's kind of where we're going to need to kind of wrap up for today. And just as a quick recap, is step one, create a good business name, right? You need to do that. And if you have a business name that you really like and you're attached to, maybe consider adding what they call a DBA, a doing business as, that's simpler, right? So you may like Haley's, Grand Conquer the World Endeavors LLC, right? That may be like your main, LLC name, and you're really attached to that. Your world domination strategy, right? But you need to have something that speaks to your business that you're doing in that moment. And you can register that as a DBA, doing business as name. And that way you can start branding that and marketing that, but still have, if you want that LLC different, that's okay, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think your LLC has to
match
what you're doing for marketing. Yeah.
Not at all. And so, I mean, it's good, but it doesn't have to be that way. So step one is get a good business name. Step two is create a good logo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then step three is do the story brand framework brand script. Getting dialed in on who your target customer is. And then leading into that is creating your marketing content, which is number four, is creating that one-page sales letter. And again, if you just look, Google one-page sales letter, Donald Miller, they've got a number of different resources attached to that. And so that helps build out your marketing content for your website and different things like that. Then you need to secure a good domain name that makes sense, that spells well when spoken, like we talked about, kind of like the business name, where if someone says something, something.com, like I had hnhmarketing.com for a while because my initials are H&H. And this was early on before I really knew what I was doing in marketing.
Before you found Donald Miller.
That's right. Before I found Donald Miller. So many people thought it was H and H. So they would do H ampersand H or H A-N-D-H marketing. I got that so much. It was very frustrating.
H-N-H,
Yes. Yes, exactly. So it was like they had all these variations, but it was like, no, it's H-N as in Hunter Nicholas Haley.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I get it. But even me as a marketer had to explain. I thought that was simple, but it wasn't because I had what they call the curse of knowledge. I was too close to it. I had a lot of knowledge about what H&H stood for. It was my middle initial, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no one else had that. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next episode. So anyway, get a good domain name, get your professional email address, and create you some business cards. So with that, we're going to wrap up for today. Thank you, Tony, for joining in and letting me rant about marketing and how to do it hopefully in a good way instead of a bad
way. Absolutely.
But all right, so tune in next time. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend. That would really, really help us. If you know someone who could benefit about this, share it on social media, share it one-on-one with somebody that really help us grow. So we definitely appreciate that. And be sure to tune in to next time for part two of Small Business Marketing Tips. Thank you and God bless.